those who have completed the prayers and want to participate in the talk are requested to come closer to the minbar, to come closer to the pulpit, please. Those who have finished performing their prayers and want to participate in the talk, they are requested to come closer to the pulpit. Move it to a side, move it higher up. Move it to a side, it's right from us. وہ حضرات جنہوں نے شرکت کرنی ہو تو ان سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ ایک ممبر کے قریب قریب تشریف لے آئے. One point we should always keep in mind is that once we come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should try our utmost to only engage in talk which relates to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within authentic narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that even if something is misplaced within the masjid, an announcement with regards to that should not take place within the masjid. If this is the case with such matters, that such announcement shouldn't even be made within the masjid. Once it comes to worldly gossip, once it comes to talking with regards to matters relating to the world, then there is no possibility of having any permission in this regard. Therefore, one point we should always keep in mind is that if we need to discuss a matter which doesn't relate to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do so before coming into the boundary of the masjid. And once we come into the masjid, we only engage in worship, we only engage in talk related to religion. And if the need ever arises to discuss worldly matters, then we leave the masjid, discuss the matter, and thereafter come back into the masjid. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Walan tarda anka al-yahudu walan nasara hatta tattabi'a millatahum. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. As we all know, the reason for why we have gathered at this particular moment in time is to understand an issue which has become very controversial in this day and age. Once it comes to our iman, once it comes to our Islam, shaitan will try to make every effort in order to take us away from the moderate path, the straight path. These attacks of shaitan will not only relate to our actions. These acts of shaitan will primarily relate to our concepts, our ideologies, our creed and our faith. Once it comes to shaitan, we should not take shaitan lightly. We all need to understand that shaitan has taken an oath. And this oath is, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will not go to the hellfire myself alone. When I do go to the hellfire, I'll ensure I take a very large group of individuals with myself. In order to achieve this, shaitan will, number one, adopt every possible method in order to deviate ourselves. And number two, in trying to adopt every method, he will approach us from every angle possible. In other words, I will say that if we do not become wary with regards to our iman, our Islam, it's more than possible, never mind, we are taken off certain actions with regards to Islam by shaitan. It's more than possible that certain pivotal concepts of ours with regards to our religion of Islam no longer remain intact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Shaytan took an oath. And this oath of Shaytan was that I will take up every possible method in order to deviate the humankind. And not only the humankind, he is also working upon good from amongst the jinn kind. Once it comes to those creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have been given the responsibility to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have two creations. Number one is that of the humankind, and the second is that of the jinn kind. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ It's not only ourselves, the humankind, who have been made responsible to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This same instruction has also been given to the jinn kind. Once it comes to the humankind, we have the obedient and disobedient in a similar manner. Once it comes to the jinn kind, we again have the obedient and disobedient. The disobedience from amongst the jinn kind are those we refer to as the shayateen. And I can even say that the disobedience from amongst the humankind are also known as the shayateen. We normally have this concept that we need to stay far away from the attacks of shaytan. This refers to an invisible force. This refers to an invisible creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, we need to remain very wary. Why do we need to remain very wary? Because from amongst the humankind, we also have the concept of shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ And in a similar manner, we stipulated, we made for every prophet an enemy in the form of shayateen. مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ They are not only from amongst the jinn kind. They are not only from that creation which are invisible to us. They are also from the creation of Allah Ta'ala who are visible to ourselves. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا When the hypocrites would come into communication with the believers, they would verbally mention that we also believe. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ When they used to go into solitude by the shayateen, قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ They would mention that the reality is we are with yourselves. As long as our iman is concerned within the court of the believers, the Muslimun, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ It was nothing but a joke. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala refers to humans as shayateen. These hypocrites would not go towards an invisible creation of Allah Ta'ala and say that the reality is we are with yourselves. They used to approach their friends from amongst the humankind, and Allah Ta'ala referred to those as the shayateen. Through this we understand, we need to always remain wary, not only with regards to the shayateen from amongst the jinn kind, we also need to take a look around us. We need to look towards those whom we accompany. We need to look towards those whom we associate ourselves with, and try to come to realize whether we in reality are accompanying the shayateen from the ins kind or not. Let me give you a very quick manner through which we can realize who the shayateen from amongst the humankind are. What does the shaytan from amongst the jinn kind want to achieve? Number one, we don't believe. And number two, after believing, either we don't act, or even if we do act, he minimizes our actions. This is all shaitan wants. Number one, don't believe. If he fails in that, after believing, don't act. If he fails in that, when acting, act in a minimal manner. If we find this same trait in certain people from amongst the humankind, we will not be incorrect to say they are the shayateen from amongst the humankind. Why? When Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the hypocrites going into solitude by the shayateen, Allah Ta'ala only refers to these humans as shayateen as they had adopted certain evil traits of the shayateen. Even within ourselves, we talk in such a manner. If we find one form of resemblance between an individual and another thing, we normally refer to that individual by the title of that thing. We've got a very courageous individual. His audacity is very great. We find one attribute of a lion within him. We will say that such an individual is a lion. So when Allah Ta'ala refers to these from amongst the humankind as the shayateen, He does so because they have instilled the evil traits of shayateen within themselves. In this day and age, those who try to either take us away from worship, or number two, those who make efforts in order to minimize our worship, and some from amongst the humankind try the utmost to take away ourselves from iman, these are the shayateen from amongst the humankind. During the month of Ramadan, once it comes to our prayers, there will be those we find who will try to make our prayers within the month of Ramadan minimal in the quantity of units. Once it comes to shaking hands, they won't want all our sins to become forgiven. By shaking with both hands, they will say only with one hand, minimize this act of worship. Why? So only half your sins are forgiven. Once it comes to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will say, don't wear the amama, don't wear the turban. Why? Again, they won't mind us at certain times wearing a hat, but not to the turban. And some people will want to take our entire headgear off our head. Why? Because they don't want us to even go towards worship. Shaitan will try his utmost in order to deviate ourselves. He has taken this oath. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I will deviate all of them. And if it was within his capacity, there wouldn't even be one individual who lives in this world, whether that individual is from the humankind or the jinn kind, who will not go to hellfire in the hereafter. How successful will shaitan become? Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ Once it comes to the two abodes of the hereafter, one abode is that of the hellfire, another abode is of paradise. Allah Ta'ala has created each one of the two. Once it comes to paradise, it's nothing but happiness. And once it comes to hellfire, it's nothing but grief. This worldly life Allah Ta'ala has granted us comes between hell and paradise. At certain times we experience joy, and at other times we experience grief. Why do we experience each one of the two? Allah Ta'ala gives us a slight taste beforehand. Normally, say for example, a wedding is coming up. We need to purchase some food. So whichever caterers we go to, it's not a good example to give at this time, but chalo. Whichever caterers we go to, then initially they will always give you tasters. I say, take these home and taste them. Why? Because through that taster, they want you to realize how nice the food actually is. And once you've tasted it, you realize it's tasty, then you'll ensure you take up steps in order to order from that particular food company. Once during this worldly life, we experience grief, this is a taste of Jahannam. We will try our best to stay away from taking steps which will lead us to eternal grief. Once we taste joy in this world, we enjoy the taste of joy. We will take every step in order to walk towards the eternal joy of the hereafter. Shaitan is going to try at his utmost, and the end result will become the majority of the humankind and the majority of the jinn kind will end up going to Jahannam. That's why, my brothers, we cannot take shaitan lightly. We can never become careless with regards to shaitan. Within the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, we find a narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that every individual has number one a jinn with himself and number two an angel with himself. Now remember, from amongst the jinn kind I've mentioned, we've got good and we've also got bad. We've got obedient and disobedient. This jinn the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions every individual has with himself is not a good jinn, it's a bad jinn. Why? Because the Prophet is mentioning this in contrast of an angel. So once it comes to an angel, he will influence you, impact you in a positive manner. And on the other hand, we've got the other force of this evil jinn, this shaitan. He will try to impact us in a negative manner. So the companions questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that O Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's the case with yourself? Do you also have this shaitan who is always remaining with you? Do you also have this evil jinn who is remaining with you alongside the angel who remains with everyone? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, O companions, I am no exclusion to this. Imagine, this is the length shaitan will go to in order to deviate, that he himself remains by the powerhouse of spirituality in order to try to deviate the powerhouse of spirituality. Let me give you an example of this. Let's try to understand this force. We walk into the masjid and mashallah, we've got a huge hench individual sitting in the corner. And on the other hand, we've got many other weak, feeble people like myself sitting around. Someone walks in and he's trying to pick a fight. If he walks in and he picks a fight with that hench individual, we'll say we need to remain very wary of this guy. Why? Because he's got so much audacity, he's got so much courage that he's not picking a fight with any random individual. He's going to the powerhouse of physique. He's going to the powerhouse of physical build and try to engage in a fight with him. Once it comes to jinn, the evil one, the shayateen, Iblis, remember, they're not only exerting efforts in order to take us who are weak and feeble in our spirituality off the straight path, they are also trying to exert their efforts with regards to the powerhouses of spirituality, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. Why did Adam alayhi salatu wasalam come to earth from heaven? What was the means of this? فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ It was the whisper of shaitan. And remember, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam being sent to the world, this is another attack people have. They try to take away our trust from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are our role models. Every single one of them are. It's not only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? If it was only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who was a role model for ourselves, why would Allah ta'ala even mention any other prophet within the glorious Quran? We have points we are to take from their lives once it comes to incidents of theirs Allah ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes mention of. People try to take away our trust from the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. How will they do this? We will open the Quran and we will say, Wah wah, mere nabi ki kya shan hai? Allahu Akbar. Look at the manner in which the glorious Quran makes mention of my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, in a positive context, in a positive manner. Then we've got those individuals who will take the same mushaf into their hands. They will go through verse after verse and they will say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا آدم عليه الصلاة والسلام sinned. لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنْ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam engaged in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These attacks will never come to an end. These attacks will continue. And if we don't become wary as an ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we remain asleep, we don't become learned in these regards, then I'm telling you, we will fall prey of that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Morning time will come, iman will be there. Evening time will come, there'll be no iman present. At evening time we will have iman, in the morning we won't have any iman. This is the day and age we currently find ourselves within. We send our children to school. There's those who have not yet reached the age of puberty. There are those who are mature. We send them to school. We send them to college. We send them to universities. They're still under our supervision when they go to work at many a times. They will go to work, have a little discussion. They've got a doubt with regards to an important aspect of our creed. that doubt within itself is sufficient for an individual's iman to no longer remain. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, they say that he was influenced by the whisper of shaitan. After that, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam ate from the prohibited tree. This means Adam alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. He was sinful. Let me explain to you how dangerous this concept is. One is an instructor in spirituality. These are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and after them they're hers. In this world, if you want to take an example to relate to, every youngster can relate to the example of a driving instructor. If someone comes to us and they say that you need to start to learn how to drive, we will try to find that driving instructor who is perfect for us. What do we normally do? We look towards his pass rate. The higher his pass rate, the more perfect we say that driving instructor is. Once it comes to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's not only uswatun, a role model, hasanatun, he is the unique, perfect role model. Why? Because his pass rate is more than the pass rate of any other individual in the world. Normally youngsters say to me, Saifuddin, which team do you support? So back in the days I would have said Arsenal. But now I can no longer say that as well. Why? Because football's not remain football anymore. So I say to them that I support that team who have the best manager. They start to think, which manager is this? I say there's a team, the manager is so great, the manager has never ever experienced failure. You think, yaar, we've never come across a team who have never lost a game in their lives. And I said, you know, these players, they're so loyal to that manager that once they see a pay rise at PSG or Real Madrid, they don't go to that team as well. Thinking, whoa, what team is this? I said, this is the team of the companions and the manager is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can put the world in front of them in the form of cars in this day and age, in the form of women, in the form of properties, in the form of wealth. They won't turn anywhere else. They'll have one goal in front of them. That's achieving Allah Ta'ala through the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Adam Ali, okay, I was given the example, driving instructor. We look at the pass rate. Now that youngster takes up this driving instructor, he starts to learn with him. Now someone comes to him and says that, do you know, last night I saw your driving instructor pulling donuts outside. Now remember, we're fasting. There's a proverb in the Arabic language, innal insana harisun lima munir, that an individual always wants to go towards that he has been prohibited from. You've got a child in the home, it's even within the child's nature. You tell the child that don't eat that sweet. It's possible they never wanted to eat the sweet. But now you say don't eat that sweet, out of curiosity they're going to pick it up and try to taste it. So even when I say that the driving instructor got caught pulling donuts last night, it doesn't refer to those donuts we're going to put into our mouths at the time of iftar. It refers to these other donuts. Youngsters know better than myself. He was wheel spinning outside yesterday. This is going to take away the trust of this individual from this driving instructor. He will now no longer be able to gain benefit from this driving instructor. He will try to look elsewhere. Once it comes to our spiritual instructors, our spiritual role models, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, if someone casts us into doubt with regards to their perfection, it's more than possible after a short while, na'udhu billah, we will be put off them. We won't take them as role models anymore. We'll start looking left and right for our role models. Yes, Allah Ta'ala does mention in the Quran that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was given an instruction, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, don't go close to this tree, never mind eat from this tree. The same Quran mentions, فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ, shaitan whispered into the ears of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and his wife Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The same Quran mentions, فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا, they both ate from that tree, never mind went close to that tree. But the same Quran also mentions, نَسِيَ Adam, this act of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was due to forgetfulness. Whenever any Muslim comes to you and tries to discuss whether a Prophet of Allah Ta'ala is infallible, free of sin or not, remember our simple answer is that same Quran you make mention from which you try to prove that a prophet of Allah Ta'ala was sinful through another account in the same Quran regarding the same incident, we will show you that prophet of Allah Ta'ala was sinless. Allah Ta'ala mentions Nasiya Adam. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam forgot. And whenever anyone does something due to forgetfulness, that is not a form of disobedience, that is not a sin. I'm sitting here and I tell one of the participants within this gathering that do me a quick favor, they say yes. I say, iftar time's close, I want a proper big iftar. So I want you to go to the corner shop. I'm giving you a list of 10 dietary products. I want you to bring back for me these 10 dietary products. He says, cholo, I'm going. He walks out of the masjid, he goes, he comes back. He places the bag in front of me, sits in the corner, starts reciting the glorious Quran. When I get time, I look into the contents of the bag. I count the dietary products. And there's not 10 in total, I find 9 inside. I say, come here, come here. He comes, he sits in front of me. I say, Yara, I told you 10, you brought 9, what's happened? He says, Saifuddin, I forgot with regards to one of the 10 products. Will I take him to task? I won't. I'll say, Bechara, I told him to get 10 things and due to forgetfulness, he left one out. I'll say, it's not an issue. You can continue with the recitation of the glorious Quran. You did a good job. When this act of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was due to forgetfulness, it doesn't become disobedience, it does not become a sin. And if anyone says that we don't accept that he forgot, then say that which Quran do you present the account from? If you present the account of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam eating from the tree from the Quran, then you've got to take the next part of the account in the Quran as well. And if you don't want to take the forgetfulness from the Quran, then where are you going to present the account from? So remember, there are attacks with regards to every aspect of our deen. And these attacks are minor. It's only 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call. And what a sad situation we are facing as an ummah. We're very, very far away from knowledge. You know, we hear talabul ilmi fariidatun ala kulli muslimin, that the acquisition of knowledge is obligatory upon every believer. Then we mention this categorization. One is that knowledge which is an individual obligation, fard ayn. I've got to gain that knowledge, everyone else has also got to gain that knowledge. Then we've got the second category, fardul kifaya, a communal obligation. One from amongst the entire community will suffice. Why? Once it comes to intricate matters, they can resort towards that one individual. They will never be left in the dark. In this day and age, learning with regards to the answers of all these objections upon Islam will save our iman, and saving our iman is an individual obligation upon every single one of us. No one can feel like the attack of shaitan is no longer relevant to me. The attack of shaitan is also relevant to the most learned of individuals. One of our scholars of the past, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Nawarallahu Marqadahu, used to mention that Molwi ka shaitan bhi Molwi hota hai. And Molwi ka shaitan bhi Molwi hota hai. Why? The reason for this is, when I'm walking around outside, can a random shaitan whisper into my ear that look up and look towards that person from amongst the opposite gender? You are not allowed to look towards. I'll turn around and say, the Quran mentions, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. I'm not going to listen to you. So now from amongst the shayateen, you've got the learned Maulvi who will be set to stay with me all the time. And what will he do? He'll trap me as a Maulvi. So I'll be walking down the street, and that first gaze with regards to which we won't be questioned, فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَتْ لَكَ الْآخِرَةِ. In that first gaze with regards to which I won't be questioned, I will see that there's a woman who is dressed inappropriately. She's a Muslimah. She's walking down the street. Now some people say, yaar, pehli nazar to muaf hai. To chalo 10 minute ke mazay hum le lete hai. First one's forgiven. Let's just prolong this one. We won't have to look again and again. We'll look for 10 minutes and bas dil hum بس دل یہاں ہی کھو بیٹھیں گے. نو نو, فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى. That first one refers to an involuntary one, not a voluntary one. And the involuntary one is only for that time you come to realize what you've seen. You don't even get time to ponder over it, and you directly look down after that. This is فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَتْ لَكَ الْآخِرَةِ. So I look up and I see, look down. Shaitan will say, Yaar, you've got the knowledge to explain to this woman. She shouldn't be exposing her body in such a way. If you having the knowledge can't do this, then who's ever going to become a means of guidance of this woman? Ye to deeni kaam hai na. So do you know what? Even if you go to speak to her on the street, people may say, Imam Sahib's walking around with a woman who's dressed inappropriately. It can't be Imam Sahib's mahram, so do you know what? Leave that. What I'll do is that from a little distance, I'll just say, what's your number? So that I can message her afterwards and explain to her in a really nice manner. No, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. In a nice, soft, gentle tone, like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did to Fir'aun, so she comes upon the deen of Islam. This مولوي کا شیطان بھی مولوي. No one can say that we're safeguarded from this shaitan. I mentioned even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam had this shaitan. I'm going to finish off the hadith very soon. There's a very important wording in the hadith next. Very recently, approximately 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call. I said, what's the issue? My son, he is an alim. He is a hafidh. At times he leads prayers. He teaches the glorious Quran. He teaches children how to memorize it. I said, mashallah, fada'il, virtues, manaqib. But what happened is that last night he came home and he said to us parents that I've got something very important to tell yourselves. But I don't want to mention it because you'll become very angry and displeased with myself. So they thought he's around 25 years old. So he's probably fallen into love with a woman. He's prolonged that initial gaze, that initial glance. So they said to him, if it's regarding marriage, you fancy someone, not an issue. We'll get you married to that individual. He said, no, this is nothing. I feel fearful to mention this to yourselves. Remember, alim, hafidh, teacher, everything. So once he gained the trust of his parents, he said, you cannot tell anyone this. He said, it's been 1.5 years I've apostated from Islam. وہ آدمی جو مسلح پر کھڑے ہو کر نمازیں پڑھاتا تھا, وہ آدمی جو عالم دین تھا, ایک عام عالم دین نہیں بلکہ کلاس میں وہ ہائی نمبرز بھی لیتا تھا, بچوں کو پڑھاتا بھی تھا. 1.5 years it's been I've apostated. So I said that ملاقات کرواؤ, maybe we can become the fortunate people who can bring non-Muslim apostate men back onto Islam. So we had a mulaqat and he had a big list of questions. Huge list of questions. And remember one thing. Scholars don't need to look for answers. Allah Ta'ala gives scholars answers. I told this individual, don't show me the list. Make a huge list. We'll have a discussion for 5 hours, not an issue. We'll drive around on the motorway, no one will realize. Make the biggest list you want with all the objections you want. Don't tell me what the questions are, why. You may think that he came prepared, I wasn't prepared. Big list. In Riyadu Salihin, I found this hadith. In Mishkat, I found this hadith. In Bukhari, I found this hadith. Then he went on to the Quran, I found contradictions in the Quran. Then he went on to Allah Ta'ala. We had a 3-hour discussion. In the end, I came to realize he doesn't even believe God exists anymore. That's when I felt in my heart, اگر عالم ہوتے ہوئے یہ مرتد ہو سکتا ہے, which guarantee do I have that whilst being an عالم I cannot also apostate. توفیق مانگو توفیق. Ask Allah Ta'ala for ability. We can gain all the knowledge we want. If we don't turn towards the powerhouse in the form of Allah Ta'ala, that knowledge will not make us tread the path of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. یہ light ہے نا, look at this light. Will that light come on its own? Or have we got a switch? We press the switch and then the light comes on. This is the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. This is Iman, this is Islam. We've got the switch in our hands, is gaining knowledge and trying to implement and practice. But if there's no electricity coming through to that switch, I can press that switch, the light still isn't going to come on. I can have the strongest hand, I can have the best switch, I can have the best light as well. It still won't come on. In a similar manner, if Allah Ta'ala is not sending spiritual power through to ourselves because we've not been asking Allah Ta'ala for ability, we can have the most of knowledge, we can have the best of understandings, we can try to implement it, it still won't work for us. Why? We've left the powerhouse Allah Ta'ala. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي ہمارے پاس کون سا وہ علم ہے کہ لوگوں کے مابین ہم فخر کرتے پھرے. I'm knowledgeable. I've got some sort of knowledge. I'm going to discuss. I'm going to debate. What was said by Qarun? إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. This knowledge I possess is intrinsic. یہ میرا ذاتی کمال ہے. یہ خدا کا کمال ہے ہی نہیں. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Qarun was sent into the ground and he continues to go down in this worldly life. Some people Allah Ta'ala سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ will give them respite and respite. They will continue thinking that these attributes belong to them. They are intrinsic. They won't attribute them towards Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, خَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ will be in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala explains, أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, a passive verb. You've been granted knowledge. It's extrinsic. It's not your intrinsic quality. If Allah Ta'ala wishes, what you have been given can be taken away overnight from yourselves. That's why there's a need not only to advance in our academia, there's a need to advance in our spirituality at the same time. Iblis ko kahat hokar pari. Where did Iblis falter? Iblis had the knowledge. He was known to be A'lam, the most learned. Iblis fell once it came to spirituality. Why? Arrogance, not having humility, is a spiritual illness. When Allah Ta'ala gave him an instruction, wastakbar, due to arrogance, he was rejected in a manner he will never be accepted again. So anyway, let's come back. Now people may have a question, the age of Aisha radiyallahu anha, why so important? Why so important? Some say that she got married when she was 6 years old. She moved in with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when she was 9. Other people say, no, she wasn't. She got married to the Prophet when she was 16. The Prophet moved in with her when she was 19. Take this or take that, what's the difference? Farak kya padta hai? We need to understand that in this one issue and similar natured issues, our entire Islam is on the line. We think one issue, bas ek baat ki baat hai. Not realizing that is ek baat ko agar hum kho baithe, to hamara deen bhi iske saath saath hum kho baithenge. Now please understand, once it comes to this, people think it's only one hadith. If the non-Muslims say that it wasn't something which was morally correct, just give in to them. What's the difference? You at the maximum will say that she was 16 and 19. That person in front is going to become pleased with you. The verse I recited in the sermon, we need to engrave this verse within our hearts and minds. I'm just going to explain this. And then inshallah ta'ala in the next session, we're going to have this to our use as well. And I'm going to explain to you through presentations. There's so many objections. And we don't even know what an authentic hadith is. We've got many people walking around roaming the streets say, your hadith is weak, ours is authentic. You say, what's an authentic hadith? They say, we're not really too sure to tell you the truth. It's like me walking around making claims, everyone in this masjid, they are all men. Someone says, who's a man? I say, I just don't know. How can I say someone's a man without knowing what a man is? How can you say something's authentic without knowing what an authentic narration is? So I'll go into that detail. Let's understand one very important concept in light of this verse. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that the Jews and Christians will never ever become pleased with yourselves until you follow their faith, you follow their religion, you follow their way in its entirety. What's Allah Ta'ala explaining to us? First, let's understand, Allah Ta'ala is discussing Muslims. He's not discussing Islam here. A very, very important distinction. One of my respected teachers, Shaykh Muhammad Salim Dawrat, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala wa Ra'a, he mentions many a times that if people were to come across Muslims before coming across Islam, they would never believe. If someone comes across Islam before coming across a Muslim, they will definitely believe. Dono mein zameen aasman ka farq hai. We have cultural Islam. Prophetic Islam is something totally different to that. Once it comes to prophetic Islam, there is no concept of treating women in the manner the majority of us treat our women. Once it comes to our cultural Islam, we've got all sorts of points with regards to women. Then women say, we aren't pleased with Islam. No, don't say that. It's not you're not pleased with Islam. You're not pleased with cultural Islam. If you came across the prophetic Islam, you'll be more than satisfied. There is no greater way forward than this. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Anka. The Jews and Christians will never become pleased with yourself, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a Muslim, i.e. the Muslimun. Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention the Jews and Christians will never become pleased with Islam. Why? Can the Jews and Christians ever become pleased with Islam whilst remaining Jews and Christians? I leave the masjid and, you know, whilst you're fasting, you don't only have certain dreams, you have all sorts of dreams. I leave the masjid and there's a Lamborghini parked outside. If I'm pleased with that Lamborghini and I've got the ability to purchase that Lamborghini, after being pleased with it and having the wealth in my pocket, will I not opt for purchasing that Lamborghini? If you're pleased with something, you have the ability to purchase it, you go through with the purchase. If the Jews and Christians who have the ability to accept Islam within them, as it has been granted to every individual by Allah Ta'ala, are pleased with the religion of Islam, they will no longer remain Jews and Christians, they will become Muslim. Whilst being Jews and Christians, they will never be pleased with Islam. So that's out of question. Anka, once it comes to the Muslims, then the Jews and Christians have different levels at which they make apparent they are pleased with the Muslims. And why does Allah Ta'ala mention the Jews and Christians? The points just come to my mind right now. Once it comes to the Jews, Allah Ta'ala mentions them first. Once it comes to the Christians, Allah Ta'ala mentions them second. Why does Allah Ta'ala not make mention of any other religion? People who adhere to any other religion, or be religions wale log hai duniya mein, to Allah Ta'ala ne bil khusus in do tabqo ko kyu bayan farmaya? The answer is, once it comes to the Jews, they are greatest in their enmity towards us. And in comparison to that, once it comes to Christians, they are a little more lenient with us. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ Number one. We will find those who have the greatest enmity towards us to be the Jews. Then afterwards Allah Ta'ala mentions, مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Then you've got the Christians, there is enmity present towards yourselves, but it's not as much as the Jews have with regards to yourselves. So Allah Ta'ala mentions Jews first, meaning that those individuals who have the most enmity towards the Muslimun will never ever become pleased with the Muslimun. Those who have a little less enmity with regards to the Muslimun, they will never ever become pleased with the Muslimun. And those who understand the Arabic language will know, لَن تَرَضَى. It comes to emphasize the negation. The Jews and Christians will never ever within our dreams become pleased with ourselves. But then we say, no, they are becoming pleased. How are they not becoming pleased? Integration. Things are working, aren't they? They are becoming pleased. Remember one thing. I always mention this to my students. Hum yaha aaye, hum integrate ho rahe hai. Wo waha gaye, kya wo integrate huye? Ya wo waha ja karke hamare hazrat ko patloon shirt pehen ke wapas aaye. Is baat ko samjho. We're integrating, aren't we? MashaAllah, we find our youngsters, they dress in different manners. Sometimes they have jeans on. I think, do you know what? Let me give them £5. Maybe they can get it sewn from here. Or ab chalte chalte, MashaAllah ta'ala, that rip's gone to the backside as well. Abhi zyada waqt nahi hoga ke samne wali taraf zip nahi hogi, waha bhi koi rip ho jayega. No, honestly, aur kya phir, what are we waiting to do? Look our hairstyles. Look how we look. We look towards our clothing at certain times. Like, what path are we treading? When you've got the best of fashions, in the fashion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, what is the need for us to resort towards any other mode or any other way of life? I'll give you an example. When I was much younger, now to abhi burha ho gaya hu, abhi sufed bal. I just told someone yesterday that if you lack wisdom, just come to me. I'll give you some of these white hairs I've got. You'll become wise, inshaAllah ta'ala. Lekin ye na ho that the wisdom goes from here and then it doesn't remain here anymore. Ek aadmi se behas chal rahi thi. Theek hai na? He had so many objections regarding Islam. So I said to him, you accept Allah. Gigi, there are white hairs. Samjana, there are white hairs. Normally I wear a hat in a manner that no one can see it. Samjana, wo log samajhte ke pathan wali topi isne pehni hai to. So fed baal aapko nahi nazar aayenge inshaAllah. Allah ta'ala humein. Nazar nahi aa raha, isliye bol raha. Cholo, achhi baat hai. Bas ye hai ke Allah ta'ala humein bari topi de aur Allah ta'ala aapko kabhi ainak na pehnwaye. So we're having a discussion. So alhamdulillah, I accepted that we have a God, we have Allah ta'ala. Then I said to him, do you accept attributes for Allah ta'ala? He just didn't want to accept. So I said to him, wait. I said, do you find attributes in the world? Do you find wisdom in the world? He said, yes, there's a lot of wisdom in the world. I said, if you accept there's a greater being, that means that he's not only the cause of our existence, he's also the cause of the attributes within our existence. He said, yes. I said, if I'm sitting here, I've got 75 people in front of me, I give them £1 million each. When that £1 million for each one of those 75 people have come through my pocket, will you say I'm the worst, most wealthy or not? So he said, yes. I said, in a similar manner, when all the wisdom found within the world came from Allah Ta'ala, then is he the all wise or not? He said, problem. So I'll tell you the truth. Before the discussion, I was just thinking over this point. And this question came to my mind, but I never had an answer for it. But remember, whenever we remain sincere, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with that which you think doesn't even exist. He said, hold on. He said, when you give us £1 million each, 75 people, he said that, what are you going to have left? He said, you were wealthy. It's possible you don't remain wealthy. When Allah Ta'ala gives us all this wisdom, it's possible he has nothing left himself. I said, 1 minute. I said, do you accept a greater being, a superior being, or do you accept a lesser being, an inferior being? He said, greater being. I said, in the humankind, we are inferior beings. There's a possibility we dish out money and we become poor. But once it comes to Allah Ta'ala, he is the superior, not inferior. He is the greater, not the lesser being. Despite dishing everything out, Allah Ta'ala has more than that remaining with himself. Have you understood this point? He's greater. Is he greater in only one aspect, or is he greater in every aspect? So, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى. They are never going to become pleased with ourselves. But we think, yeah, they are. Do you know if we give in to the age of Aisha, they'll become pleased with ourselves? No, they won't. Remember, they won't. Why? Because once you give an answer with regards to that, you say, chalo, we accept it was 16 and 19. The next question, we don't even believe polygamy is morally correct. Never mind four wives, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walahu tis'u niswatin, had 9 in his marriage at once. A few days ago, someone sent me an image of something in a newspaper from abroad. And in that, he said, there's an individual who's currently got 9 wives. He's going to divorce 2 and he's going to get 2 more. I said, he's definitely trying to resemble my prophet then. 11 in total, 9 at once. If you say that he got married to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha when she was 16, and she moved in with him when she was 19, are they going to become pleased? No. The next question is polygamy. What answer are you going to give to that? You're going to answer polygamy, they'll say, you've got permission for four, he had permission for nine at once, what's happened here? Are these objections ever going to come to an end? Aaj ek ishkal hai, kal dusra hoga. Aur yu karte karte ishkalat barte jayenge. Aur hamari ye khab, ke ye yahood aur nasrani humse khush ho jayenge, wo khab hamari kabhi mukammal nahi hogi. Ha ukhrawi zindagi mein Allah hame natija batla denge. Even if you live for eternity, you continue to try to please them, they still wouldn't become happy with you. Why? Allah Ta'ala has told us in advance, حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They will not become pleased with you until you follow their faith. Integration is of different levels. No lower level of integration. They say, chalo, we're somewhat pleased. Continue, continue, continue. The highest level of integration people will become pleased with is that level of integration in which we no longer remain mu'mins, we become them. In other words, Allah Ta'ala, وَلَن تَرَضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you don't leave your religion of Islam, until you don't wash your hands from your iman, those you are trying to please will never ever become pleased with yourselves. That's why remember, never give in with regards to any Islamic concept. If we've not got an answer for it, then someone has got the answer for it. And this is what I tell many a people. I say a Muslim may not have the answer. Pay attention to this. A Muslim may not have the answer, but Islam definitely has the answer. Ye ho sakta hai ke kisi sual ka jawab mere paas na ho. I am a Muslim, but remember, Islam has the answer. And there will be someone in the world who always has answers with regards to every objection upon Islam. In Islam, before an apostate is given his punishment. And even this, remember, it's not a punishment. Which world is for punishments? Is it this world or is it the hereafter? The hereafter is for punishments. Allah doesn't punish anyone in this world. Allah Ta'ala may make an individual go through what seems to be a punishment, but the reality is that serves as a deterrent. Dono mein farak hai. I've got a child in class. He's done something wrong which is going to influence the remainder of the children in a negative manner. Will I want to punish that child? I won't want to punish the child. What will I get through punishing that child? Allah ko dunyawi zindagi mein kisi ko azaab de kar ke kya milega? Ma yaf'alu Allahu bikum in shakartum wa ma yaf. There's a verse in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that what will Allah Ta'ala gain through punishing yourselves if you remain grateful to Allah Ta'ala? Allah ko kya milne wala hai? I won't want to punish that child, but I will definitely make that child go through a process due to which he himself will stay away from that act because it's harmful for him, not harmful for me. And it will also become a deterrent for other people within the class as well. So rather than punishment, we should say deterrent. But because we do, I'll say, in Islam, before an apostate is given his punishment, he is given 3 days to have all his questions answered with regards to Islam. If there wasn't an answer with regards to every question, would Islam say you've got 3 days? Giving 3 days within itself is an evidence that Islam has the answer for every question regarding Islam. Alhamdulillah, liyudhirahu ala ad-deeni kullihi. This platform of Islam we stand upon, we should stand on it with total confidence and conviction. Why? Because Islam, evidence-wise, will always remain dominant within the world. No one can ever turn towards Islam and say, we've got a question regarding Islam which has no answer. So best one thing, final message of today. You will find objections regarding the Quran. You will find objections regarding the existence of Allah Ta'ala. You will find objections regarding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You will find objections regarding the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You will find objections regarding the Sharia. Remember, never ever give in thinking that Samne Wala Hamse please Razi Ho Jayega. He will only become pleased with yourself once you start following his religion after abandoning your religion, number one. And number two, remember, Just because we don't have an answer doesn't mean there is no answer for this. Just because a Muslim doesn't have an answer, it doesn't mean there is no answer for this. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Once it comes to knowledge, you always have those who are superior to yourself in knowledge. You always have those who are superior. And Allah Ta'ala, this is such an important point. Allah Ta'ala taught us this through Musa alayhi salatu wassalam as well. We find in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, upon an occasion, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was standing within a group of individuals. So someone posed a question that who is the most learned? Who is the most learned? Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, considering himself being a human, the humankind questioning, his response he gave was myself. The answer wasn't incorrect. The answer wasn't incorrect. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach us a lesson through Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Humne seekhna hai Musa alayhi salatu wassalam se bhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam undertook the miraculous night journey of Mi'raj. Who did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam see standing praying within his grave? Musa alayhi salatu wasallam. Why not any other prophet? In the glorious Quran, we find a mention of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam more than any other prophet. Why? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was descending with 50 prayers, who did he come across who told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, request a decrease? Why? Wherever you look, Musa alayhi salatu wajah kya hai? We look towards the ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, fattaqu dunya. Remain wary with regards to the dunya. وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ. Remain wary with regards to women. Why? Why should we remain wary with regards to women? فَإِنَّ أَوَّلُ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ. The first test for the Banu Israel, the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, also related to women. Similarities. That is an ummah we can relate to. That is a prophet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam could relate to the most due to the similarities we make mention of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The companions were similar in nature. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once questioned, Manil Muflis, who is the pauper? So they realized that we're living in the world, people have materialistic items, they have commodities, they have wealth. So they said, a pauper is that person who has no real wealth with himself. We refer to that person, a skint person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded, no. I was questioning you with regards to the pauper in the hereafter. And I will mention the meaning of the narration. The real poor person is the one who goes into the court of Allah Ta'ala with mountains of good. And he comes to realize at the end that never mind mountains of good, he's got mountains of evil before himself. Musa alayhi salam, me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this we understand, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says there's a being above me with more knowledge, then who are we to think that if we don't have an answer, there is no answer for this? I go home, I've got a headache, and I think I need some medication. So I look around to different forms of medication. I'm a young child, I'm what, 3 years old, I don't even know paracetamol, I don't know cocadamol, I don't know anything. Never mind herbal medicine, I don't even know what this business is. So if I was to think, yaar, there is no medication for a headache, there is no pain relief for a headache, and then walk around and tell people, yaar, do you know what, I've still got a headache because there is no pain relief for a headache, everyone's going to say, do you know there's levels of knowledge once it comes to medicine? You're not even here yet. You're beneath that. You're on the minuses yet. Go to a person who's come to number one. He comes into the pluses. It's only then will he tell you that when you thought there was no medication for your headache, no pain relief for your headache, there's not only one, there's multiple forms of pain relief for your headache. People think that we are engaging kufr. There are no answers to these questions, objections regarding Islam. Therefore, everything's, it's not finished yet. Why? Because you've not even got to zero yet, you're in the minuses. Go to those people who are in ones and twos and they'll give you answers with regards to every objection of yours. So inshallah ta'ala, there's a few pivotal points I've made mention of here. Continuing in the next session, inshallah, we'll have this to our usage and we'll be able to understand many more points. You'll have a presentation, we'll be able to relate to it in a proper manner. And we'll go through every single objection. There'll be many objections we don't even know. Many objections. Recently, someone sent me a 3-hour video clip through someone else and they said that, tell Imam Sahib, it's a good watch. I said, chalo, it's a good watch. But inshallah, once you watch what comes up here, that's when we'll realize what the real issue is. Some people say, na'udhu billah, it was morally incorrect. How can you accept that individual to be a prophet of Allah Ta'ala? We've got some Muslimun who say that getting married for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a 6-year-old is something which is haram within Islam. Never mind morally incorrect. They say in Islam, the Quran says you can't get married to a 6-year-old. So how can we accept that the Prophet himself went against the glorious Quran? This is the concept. People mention so many ahadith from Bukhari and they say that all these ahadith go against the Quran. Do you know what? We're putting Bukhari aside as well now. Then it doesn't finish. They found contradictions in the Quran. So many in the Quran. Now they put the Quran aside as well. Na mustafaraha na khudaraha. Who's going to remain then? Jalo, inshallah, we'll continue next week or in the next session, inshallah ta'ala. If there's any questions now, you can ask. Koi sual hai to pooch sakte ho. There's no need to shy away. There's no need to feel like you're going to be belittled. We've all been through this process. I am still going through this process. At certain times, my teacher said to me that, oh, gade. And I think, chalo. Well, the reality is, we are in comparison to you. Ji. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, so two questions. And remember, we don't have to sit for this Q&A. Okay, it's finished. No one can say that he went so long that we're never going to sit again. If anyone wants to leave, they can feel free to leave. And it wasn't even necessary to sit in the beginning. Anyway, we have to learn, so we will learn together, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah kare ke aisi majlis hamari jannat mein bhi lag jaye. Usme main bayan na karu, balki aap mujhe bayan do, inshaAllah ta'ala. First question. First question was with regards to evil thoughts. Now remember, once it comes to evil thoughts, there are of two types. Number one, voluntary evil thoughts. And number two, involuntary evil thoughts. And this has been mentioned within the glorious Quran. Why? Because there was a verse of the Quran which was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the verse was that, وَإِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. That which you have within your chest, if you were to make that apparent or keep it concealed, Allah Ta'ala will take you, you will be accountable in the court of Allah Ta'ala regarding that. So thoughts. The companions alayhim ridwan heard this and they had this question. They all started talking to one another that we have so many involuntary thoughts. Will we be questioned with regards to them as well? Then the verse of the Quran was revealed. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. You're only burdened in accordance with your capacity. Something involuntary is not in our own ability and capacity. We don't have control over that. We only question with regards to that which we have an ability with regards to and we have a control over. So involuntary thoughts entering our mind, then we don't need to worry about this. It's not a matter of concern. Why? Because number one, we won't become sinful. And remember, number two, something even greater than this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this is a sign of our iman. Once it comes to the discourse regarding taqdeer, predestination, the companions mentioned that we have questions in this regard. The Prophet mentioned it's a sign of your iman. Why is it a sign of our iman if we've got such questions come to our minds involuntarily? The answer is, a thief only breaks into that home in which he knows something great in value is present. If we fill this up with toilet papers, okay, it's not corona time anymore, alhamdulillah. Then they probably would have broken in when they saw tissues inside as well. Got loads of toilet papers inside. A thief looks through the window. Is he going to break in? going to say, no, he won't break in. If he sees gold around in the building, he's going to break in straight away. When shaitan knows there's gold somewhere, he tries to attack. And when he knows there is nothing valuable anywhere, he doesn't even attack. He attacks in the form of whispers. Him whispering is a sign that our iman is present. So involuntary, we don't need to worry. Yes, if the involuntary thought comes to our mind and then we entertain it, because that's now in our control, we need to worry about that. So if a thought comes which we try to take away, it's not going away. We will gain reward for trying to take away that thought which came involuntarily into our minds and hearts. But at the same time, we need to go to a learned person and gain an answer for it. Why? Remember, brushing something under the carpet is not a solution. Answering the objection is the real solution. So if it's involuntary, we don't need to worry. As long as we don't entertain it further, then the time we don't have control over it being within our hearts and minds. Say we've been influenced by it. Again, don't verbalize it. Don't bring it into your action. Don't make it apparent. Allah Ta'ala won't take you to task unless you within your mind and heart have changed your opinion in that regard. Thought process. Number two question. The shayateen have been chained up. Sufilat al-shayateen. In one word, in sulsilat al-shayateen. They've been chained up, they're shackled, they're locked up. We still find disobedience. So one answer I've already given. That is, we don't only have shayateen from amongst the jinn kind, the invisible creation. We have them from amongst the ins kind, the visible creation. So the evil jinnat, the shayateen from maradatul jinn, the evil jinnat, the shayateen have been chained up. But the shayateen from amongst the humankind are still roaming the streets. We're going to be impacted by them. And remember, we need to stay away physically and also virtually in this day and age. In the Prophet ﷺ, we said technology, we can use it to our advantage. We're lucky we've got technology. Remember, if you use it in the right way, you're very lucky. And if you don't know how to use it, then it's going to become a means of our destruction. There was no websites in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Do you know what it was? No, we look in these chains of transmissions. You've got, I say that I mentioned to you a hadith from my teacher, all the way to... There's all beings in between, aren't there? There's all individuals in between. Do you know in the next generation, this chain's going to have something unique in it. There's not going to be I heard from a being, it's going to be that I saw from Google. We're going to have this new chain. You understand? Forget virtually gaining knowledge. Unless you know exactly from whom you are taking that knowledge. We've got so many people on the internet. And upon the name of Muslims, can you get a better title than Ahmadi? Upon the name of Muslims, they are deviating people. So number one, the shayateen from amongst the humankind who are visible to us, they are still out in the open, they are exerting their efforts. I will give a final second answer. If I've got an individual who walks around with fire and he heats up metal. So he's heating up metal. I also want to say, lock him up in that room. You say, okay, locked up. Will we expect that metal to become cool as soon as that fire leaves the metal? Or will the metal remain warm until the effects of the fire come to an end upon it? Mithal samajh gaye? I'll give you another example. There's a person in front of me. He's been struck very hardly on his face. Now, will the effect of that be long-lasting in the form of a bruise? Yes. If I was to say that, stop striking him, that bruise will remain. Why? Because the impact of the strike was so hard. Before the month of Ramadan enters, shaitan has such a great influence upon us, such a great effect upon us, that even though he has been taken away, it takes quite a long time, if not the entire month, for that influence to go away itself. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to prepare for Ramadan 2 months before the month of Ramadan began. When the month of Rajab started, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. We understood. So there's multiple other answers. These are just two basic answers I've made mention of. Anything else?
I really need your advice.
If it's a personal matter, then I can answer you later. If it's general, then I can answer
okay,
you.
Okay, take some time out later on.
Yeah, I'll take some time out, inshallah. Okay. Ji.
You started off with a hadith and you're going to finish it off. You know, with the jinn and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't know if I was asleep when you finished it off, but if you haven't.
I'll try to recall. I'll ask my students what I mentioned, then inshallah ta'ala will continue on in the next session. Because the thing is, nothing is pre-planned once it comes to my talk. So we go here and there. I just make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes me say beneficial things. That's the main thing. Chalo, inshallah, we'll call it today. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.